Hello, and welcome to Right Now with Ralph Martin, a podcast where author, speaker, and worldwide renewal leader, Dr. Ralph Martin, shares what the Holy Spirit is stirring up in the church right now, words of encouragement from the Lord to strengthen you for such a time as this. We are glad you can be with us this week as we seek to encourage you for this moment in history. And now, your host, Ralph Martin.
There are some very familiar scripture passages that we're so used to hearing that we sometimes don't really get the strong, challenging things that Jesus are saying that really demand a response or urgently calling us to a response. One of these scripture passages is the very familiar story about the five wise and the five foolish virgins. So let's take a look at that just for a moment. This is from Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 to 13. Jesus told his disciples this parable. The kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish, didn't do what they needed to do to really be ready to meet the bridegroom when he returned. And five were wise. The foolish ones, when taking their lamps, brought no oil with them, but the wise brought flasks of oil with their lamps. Since the bridegroom was long delayed, they all became drowsy and fell asleep. So many warnings in Scripture. Don't fall asleep. Stay awake. Be alert. Keep watch. At midnight, there was a cry. Behold, the bridegroom! Come out to meet him! Then all those virgins got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish one said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise ones replied, "No, for there may not be enough for us and you. Go instead to the merchants and buy some for yourselves." While they went off to buy it, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went into the wedding feast with him. And then the door was locked. Now, most scripture commentators from the earliest days of the church said what this is talking about is you can't coast on somebody else's relationship with the Lord. You can't borrow somebody else's relationship with the Lord. You have to have your own relationship with the Lord. Some scripture commentators talk about the oil being the oil of the Holy Spirit. You need to have your own relationship with the Lord. You need to be filled with the Spirit. You need to be alive. You need to be awake. You need to be ready to respond when the Lord comes and when the door closes. So, then the door was locked. What happened is that the five wise virgins were inside when the door was locked, and the five foolish virgins were outside. They were locked out when the door was locked. Then they said, "Lord, Lord, open the door for us." I think of that passage in Matthew chapter 7 where Jesus says, "Not everybody who says, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of God." And here we have another illustration of it. "Lord, Lord, open the door for us." But he said in reply, "Amen, I say to you, I do not know you. Therefore, the message is, stay awake, for you know neither the day nor the hour." Every time that Jesus says, "No one knows the day or the hour," he says, "Nevertheless, be alert, be awake." This is pretty shocking. I mean, it's pretty awful to be locked out of the kingdom of God, isn't it? And that's what happened to the foolish virgins who didn't have their own relationship with the Lord. They were locked out of the kingdom of God. They were locked out of the wedding feast. And what a wonderful thing for the wise virgins. Even though they were drowsy, they woke up immediately and they were ready to respond to the Lord. They were waiting for him. They were prepared for him. They were living lives of holiness. They had their own relationship with him. I don't know, but I hope our Holy Church kind of wakes up to the Word of God and recognizes that strong, radical things are being said. We're being called to repentance, to conversion, because there's going to be a final judgment. The door is going to close for each of us. We may be alive when the Lord comes. I really hope I am. But if we're not we're going to meet the Lord. Our life is going to come to an end. The door on salvation is going to close for us at a certain point. We're going to find ourselves either in or out. God forbid that we're caught out when the door closes. There's another passage that's about the door closing. It's in Luke chapter 13, verses 22 on. Jesus went on his way through towns and villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. And someone said to him, "Lord, will those who are saved be few?" Oh my, this is a scary question. What's the Lord going to say? How possible is it to really be saved? How difficult is it to really be saved? What's the Lord going to say? Now, because the Lord didn't give numbers or percentages, we tend not to pay attention to what he actually said, but he actually answered the question. And it's radical. It's shocking what he says. He said to them, "Strive to enter by the narrow door." This reminds us of Matthew chapter 7 again, about the broad way that leads to destruction, the narrow door that leads to life. "Strive to enter by the narrow door." And the underlying Greek word for strive is where we get our English word agonize from. So basically, put everything you have into following the Lord. Put everything you have into turning away from sin. Put everything you have into putting Jesus first in your life. Put everything you have into obeying him. "Strive to enter by the narrow door, for many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able to. When once the householder has risen up and shut the door, you'll begin to stand outside and to knock at the door saying, 'Lord, open to us. What are we doing outside? What happened? Why are we outside? Why did you close the door?' And he will answer you, 'I do not know where you come from.' Then you'll begin to say, 'We ate and drank in your presence. You taught in our streets.'" What they're basically saying is, "Lord, we were sympathetic to you. We came to your healing services. We came to your teachings. We ate and drank with you. We were friendly towards you." Then the Lord says, "I tell you, I do not know where you come from. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. There you will weep and gnash your teeth when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out." Wow. Now, this obviously applies to the Jews rejecting Jesus and not entering the door that Jesus was opening for his own people. And it also applies to the Gentiles coming in to the consternation of the Jews. But it also applies to every single one of us individually, because the door is going to close. And being sympathetic to Jesus isn't enough to save us. It isn't enough to get us into the wedding feast. We need to have the wedding garment on. Remember the parable of the wedding feast, and somebody comes out without a wedding garment, and he's thrown out. Everybody's been welcome. Everybody's come. But if you don't come with a welcome wedding garment, if you don't come clothed with Christ, if you don't come in Jesus, loving Jesus and obeying Jesus, and despite our imperfections and despite our falls, repenting and again coming back to Jesus, we will not enter the kingdom of God. Now, I know this sounds pretty radical, but what that really means is that it's not enough just to go to church on Sunday. It's not enough just to be baptized. It's not enough even to receive communion, because we know we can receive communion unworthily and it be to our condemnation. Listen to what Vatican II says about this. It says in section 14 of the Constitution on the Church, "Even though incorporated into the church, one who does not, however, persevere in charity is not saved." So you can be a member of the church. You can be a baptized, even church-going member of the church, but not be saved. "He remains indeed in the bosom of the church, but in body, not in heart. All children of the church should nevertheless remember that their exalted condition as Catholics results not from their own merits, but from the grace of Christ. If they fail to respond in thought, word, and deed to that grace, that gift of salvation, that gift of being a Catholic, not only shall they not be saved, but they shall be the more severely judged. We've got to wake up. We've got to help our brothers and sisters who have fallen asleep. We got to help our brothers and sisters who have misinterpreted God's mercy and have become presumptuous on God's mercy without responding to it with faith and repentance. We've got to be willing to snatch people from the broad way heading to destruction and have them join us on the narrow way. It's so important to hear this message. This is life-saving. This is merciful. This is God trying to shock us and wake us up out of our darkness, out of our presumption, out of our foolish thinking, into paying attention to what he's saying to us. The door is closing. The door will close on each of our lives. The door will close on the entire history of the human race. And some, maybe many, will be lost. They'll be outside when the door closes because they didn't enter in when it was open. The door is open between the first and second comings of Christ, but it's going to close at the final judgment. And they're going to be those who are in the Father's house and those who refuse to pay attention, refuse to believe, refuse to obey, refuse to repent. And they'll be outside forever. What a radical, striking message about the wise virgins and the foolish virgins. What a radical answer Jesus gives to the answer, will there be few in number who are saved? He doesn't want there to be few in number who are saved, but he's trying to wake us up so we're amongst the saved, not amongst those who presume that we have a good relationship with the Lord when we don't. The door is closing. We need to ask ourselves the question, will you be inside or outside when the door closes? God, help us to be inside. God, help us to believe in the midst of confusion, to obey in the midst of deception, to love when all kinds of challenges to love are being presented to us every day. Amen.
This podcast is brought to you by Renewal Ministries, part of the Renewal Podcast Network. If you are enjoying this podcast, we invite you to help us spread the word by leaving us a rating or review, following or subscribing to this podcast, or sharing on social media. Until next time, this is Right Now with Ralph Martin.